Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grillin' mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome, you are listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. Man, we're neck deep into summer. Grills are hot. Smokers are smoking. And it is time to create some envy in your backyard with your grill. I'm Jop, and he is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks for joining us. It is the Grilling Guys. It's the smokiest show on the radio, man, so we're glad you tuned in. We don't know if you found us accidentally or if you're an appointment listener and you just wait for us every Saturday morning or Sunday, but we're awful happy you're here.
So, Barbecue Bob, this week, we always start out with, what'd you grill this week that was cool, unique, or different? And I got one. And actually, I was very proud about how it turned out. Basically, real simple three-ingredient recipe, which are some of the best ones that I do. And I start out with a skinless, boneless chicken breast. A little bit thicker one, not those paper-thin ones you get at the big box stores, right, but a big, thick one. I stuck the end of a paring knife in there and created a little pocket, kind of laid it on its side, went halfway top to bottom, and running my knife back and forth a little bit, created a little pocket. And then I took and I put spinach and artichoke dip, prepared by a store.
That's funny.
Right? Prepared by a store, stuffed it inside of there, and then took bacon, and I used thin bacon when I wrap with bacon because it cooks better, and I wrapped this chicken breast in bacon all the way around it. And then so I got three ingredients. I got a skinless boneless breast stuffed with spinach artichoke dip, wrapped with apple wood smoked bacon.
And how did you like it?
I put it on the smoker.
Oh.
And set it there because I with the dip inside, I didn't want to have to turn it.
Right.
And with the bacon, it'll fall off.
Right.
So I did this on the smoker, got it to 165 internal temperature.
About an hour.
And I was at about a 300-degree smoker. It's a little warmer than smoke, but at first it smoked. And then at
just
the end
nice
of the day,
light
the,
amount of
bacon,
smoke.
The bacon gets it congeals, right, and cooks down, and it's sealed in that stuff. And, boy, was that juicy and wonderful.
Nice.
And you put that on the plate, and it just you draw across that with a knife, and you got that ooey-gooey spinach artichoke dip with a piece of chicken with some bacon around it. Dude.
Mm-hmm.
It was a home run.
You could even finish that off with a little sweet glaze on that bacon or some sort of pepper jelly or something.
Yep, right.
But you told me about that earlier this week, and I just started laughing my head off because I had recently, the day before, bought some spinach artichoke dip. We had people coming over, and I remember dipping some, we love doing, just with crackers or pumpernickel bread or whatever. But we get our Triscuits because they're healthy.
Right.
And putting gobs of that dressing on it.
Yeah, they were healthy. Yeah.
And I remember looking at it thinking, man, would this be nice to stuff something with like a jalapeno or something? I got to try it.
Yeah.
So now I definitely want to try it because my suspicion was correct.
Yeah. It was fantastic.
That's cool.
And because they were smoked and they were slow cooked, they didn't dry out.
Right.
Indirect heat.
Right.
So in the
bacon kept them juicy.
Bacon kept them juicy.
Bacon's good for everyone.
Yeah, right. And the bacon gets crispy enough that when you slice it, it falls off a little bit so you can get a little bite of bacon with the chicken. Oh, yeah, it was just good.
That's cool.
Just
it's funny
good,
because, I think chicken's an easy go-to. It's if you're having people come over or whatever, everybody's safe with chicken. You know, sometimes you serve steak and somebody's like, well, I don't do red meat or, only eat meat once. You know, so to go simple.
Those are the only people that come to my house once, though, right?
And to save a little money, chicken's a nice way to go. I had the whites over, my friend Greg White and Greg and Barb.
I know Greg and Barb. From
church, yep. And Greg, actually, I met him when I put my pool in. He sold me my fencing. He had left the engineering firm he's with and gone to sell fence for a large local company for a while. And he came out and measured and sold me a beautiful Jarrah fence that's been around my pool for 15 years now. Well, I'm making changes back there, as you see. I mean, there's dirt everywhere, and we're tearing everything up and trying to remake our whole house. So I thought I'd add on to my trauma and finish getting that fence the way it really should be now with the changes we made to the deck. So, and of course, he knows that business well. He's a landscape architect.
Right.
He's just awesome. So I thought, well, I'll bribe him with a little dinner and a couple cocktails.
So semi-free advice.
So they came over, and we had a wonderful night. And I did something very common, only I didn't use Italian dressing. I made up one out of some old world olive, some oils. I used the basil oil, and I used an apricot, or no, their plum balsamic reduction. And I threw some of the shish kebab seasonings, and I threw some bay leaf, some thyme, some pepper, and some garlic in it. And I marinated that chicken overnight. Oh, and I threw some red wine in that I've been hanging on to because I don't really care for it.
And, well, it's good for marinating.
You know, it's a cab sauv that does right. not work, but it's wine, so why waste it? And that chicken, and then as it was finishing off, I did it on my Cajun grill on some nice charcoal. Yep. As it was finishing off, I shredded some nice fresh Parmesan, and I just layered all of them with Parmesan and shut the lid for an extra 15 minutes. And remarkably, the thighs and the full bone-in, skin-on breasts all came due about the same time. They all finished off. I got the breasts up to 165, and by then the thighs were 180. Perfect, right where I like them.
You get that thigh to 180, and what you've done is you've taken all the chance of when you cut that joint across where the leg and the thigh meet. Sometimes there's a little blood in there, and it's not going to hurt you when you're at 180, but it doesn't exist when you're at 180.
If you're 160, not only that, but all that connective tissue from those millions of muscles in a thigh, they're all gone, and it's just a beautiful, tender, juicy piece of meat because it was skin on.
Right.
So then I finished them off, and anyway, Greg was eating a whole breast, and after dinner, he said, I think that's the best chicken I've ever had.
Yeah.
And that's all I wanted to hear. That's like, great. I'm doing that again then.
So now let's talk about my fence.
Now, right? We never even got to talking about it. We sat down and talked about the trips we take and just had fun, and he took a five-minute meander out there. He knows what to do.
Yeah.
But that was fun. Of course, last night you were at my house, and I bought four bushels. No, I don't know how much
it was. Like 25 pounds of asparagus, right? I mean, it was a lot of asparagus.
I got a deal on it at Clackles up in Greenville, Michigan, and it was like 3 pounds for $3 or $4 or something.
Right.
It was a phenomenal deal. It's that big orchard just west of Greenville. It's an honor system, so you just take what you want and you throw the money in this steel thing.
Yeah, isn't that the best?
It's awesome.
Yeah. And
it's
people
awesome.
People respect it.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was awesome. And it was hand snapped, you know,
that day kind of thing.
Beautiful asparagus. So my daughter Maggie and her boyfriend Christian came over because Christian loves pickled anything. He's like me, you know, and he loves to hunt. He's a great guy. And so he's like, couldn't wait to make some asparagus. So we had a ball. And thank you for stopping in and bringing a little
extra. Quality control.
Bringing a little extra wine for the event. That was nice of you. You're always good like that.
Well, you know, so some things I'm good at.
And now you got to see a canning process,
which was new to me.
Yeah.
Right? It's just myself and Michelle, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like we have this big garden and I'm used to canning anything.
Well, your mom probably canned.
She did. Growing up, we
but
ate
you never
all that
paid
stuff
attention
all the time.
To it.
No. I ate the hell out of it, but I didn't ever make it. That was then. This is now. Now
that's
I'm
cool.
intrigued by it. Because it is a process, and it's something that you can enjoy these fresh vegetables all year long.
Well, and also, if you notice, I was going out to my smokers. I've got butts on the smoker because as soon as we get done here this morning, I'm heading to Detroit to a Parkinson's fundraiser. So I'm supplying barbecue for a bunch of people over there.
Yeah, pretty cool. Coming up next, it's the perfect steak. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got 6 packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats, as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. It's a summer weekend, man. June 9th already. My, how time flies. But you know what? We are in the heart of smoking and barbecue season. And so we got a lot going on right now. And Barbecue Bob, what are you thinking, man? We were going to talk a little bit about the perfect steak. And that's a big topic.
Kudos to Mr. Fonger, our producer, the wizard at the big board. Great bumper music, buddy. Yeah. Brings me back to... couple times I saw those boys in concert. They're phenomenal. Yeah. They're awesome. So, tips for perfect steak. We had a great conversation on the break. Let's have it again.
Well, we have a device out there that is, prior to about 5 years ago, really only like high-end chefs use it, and now they've got a layman's model, and it's called a sous vide, S-O-U-S-V-I-D-E.
So if you're not a minister, you can use it.
That's right.
I yeah. see.
But what it is a device that you shrink wrap meat or vegetables or whatever you want. You use your vac sealer and get all the air out of it, and you put them in a pot of water, and you put this device on the side of the pan, and it heats the water and circulates it at the same time.
Pot of water?
Right. So what it does is, for example, we're talking about steaks, okay? I got a nice porterhouse steak. It could be frozen. I don't choose to freeze my meat, so I get a fresh one. I run it through my vac sealer. I'm going to put it, submerge it in a pot of water, sealed up, but I put seasonings, maybe my sea salt, my pepper, and some garlic on that steak, shrink wrap it, and put it in this pot, and turn that sous vide device onto 125 degrees, because what it does is it's got a sensor on it, and it regulates, it brings the water up to the temperature that I set it at.
It looks like a curling iron.
Yeah, and then it circulates the water. It's got a little pump on the bottom of it. And these things are a couple $100, but I'm telling you what, it's worth it, because here's what I did with the steak, is that you put that in there, and it circulates the water, and there's a book that comes with it.
So it's got
it.
A little pump in it.
Yeah,
though.
Right, and it comes with a little book to give you estimated times, right? You don't want to poke a probe into it and
right.
let the water in,
right.
So you got to kind of watch the book and so you get a feel for it.
I see.
Right? But I brought that steak up, it was about an hour, I brought that steak up to 125 degrees internal temperature, perfect medium rare.
So if it's bringing it to 125, it'll never rise above it.
No.
You really can't overcook it.
That's
because
correct. It's the water temperature.
Unless it spontaneously combusts.
It's in a bath of 125 degree water, if that's what I set it at, and it'll never get warmer than that because... the heating element in the sous vide machine doesn't go above it.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It is the weekend, and we're doing tips and techniques today. And Job's talking about a little sous vide. Now, you gave me one for Christmas.
I did.
And I've got to confess, I've been afraid to use it because I thought you boiled the food in the plastic bag, and I didn't want to boil anything in plastic.
Right. And it's not that at all. The plastic only functions to keep the water off the food because it'll never go. The thing only goes to 180 degrees. It won't go any higher. So you're, because basically what you're doing is you're cooking this in a bath of water. It cooks in its own juices. There's no hot air blowing by it to dry anything right out. So what I did is I got that steak to a perfect 125. You pull it out of there, it's going to be gray, right? Because meat that's not grilled and seared turns gray. So you pull it out of there, have your grill already set on high, literally a minute, do the 10 and 2, do 2 minutes on one side, flip it over, give a little color to the other, and you're done. You're not cooking it. Yeah. You're literally coloring
and
it.
And for some things, you wouldn't even have to do that. Could simply cook it and serve it, like cook it in its gravy.
That's right.
Or
chicken breasts. Skinless, boneless chicken breasts are fabulous in this thing.
Really?
Because all the juice is kept in them. There's nothing that dries out.
So you just season them up. You could maybe put a little bit of your favorite moist marinade in there if
absolutely.
You wanted. Just to,
absolutely.
So you had a little more of a bath when it was done.
You just got to suck the air out of it so it doesn't float, that it's under the water. But it's super simple to do.
Mm.
So, but anyway, that's called sous vide. And look it up on the internet because it's a fabulous way.
Well, now I'm going to use mine.
Yeah. Give it a try because I know you'll figure it out.
Yeah. So tips for cooking the perfect steak. Let's do this real quickly. Now, if you're a regular listener, we've done steak a gazillion times. I apologize. Get a cup of coffee and give us just a second here because we're taking on new stations and new listeners literally every couple of weeks. So, you know, a lot of people maybe haven't heard the old tips we like to give. One basic tip for steaks is get it out of the fridge and let it set for a couple hours on the counter, covered, keep the flies off it. But let that thing come up to room temperature before you start affecting it. And then the next thing you want to do is put your seasoning on it. I'm just a salt and pepper guy. I sometimes like that bologna seasoning or some of the cool stuff we get here and there. But and then once you get your seasoning on it, put a little oil on it and throw it on your nice hot fire.
Right. The oil will keep it from sticking. It'll get you a little bit of a sear on there. And we're talking like a high-quality extra virgin olive oil. Is what we're usually do. You can put a flavor profile on it or not. That's up to you. But getting this on the grill at room temperature will make your meat so much better because it'll cook more evenly than the outside being overdone before the inside is to your temperature.
Now, here's another thing I like to do. I did a bunch of strips a while back.
Like New York strips?
Yep. And they had a really big edge of fat on them.
Yeah.
I trimmed that off because there's a row of cartilage in there with it or some kind of weird
collagen or something.
Gelatin looking thing. And so I like to trim that off because I don't want my guests to have to, number one, eat it because most people don't. And number two, it's just going to give me more flare-ups. And people say, well, you got to leave, you know, all that fat. No, the fat, that fat does nothing for the meat. If you just look at the direction of the grain of the meat, there's no way the fat is going to jump across that cartilage and jump onto the meat and drain through it. The fat that people want in their meat is called marbling.
Right.
And that fat on the edge is not marbling. It's fat. It's the way the animal survives the winter.
Right. And so it's one of those things is fat is flavor, which is why you look for marbling in the steak. And the marbling is intermittent in the muscle. The part that you're eating, it's not on the perimeter of the edge, right?
So but that kind of fat is fire.
Right.
That's all that is.
Yeah, because it'll render, it'll drip down on your coals, it'll drip down on your gas grill, and you'll get flare-ups. And what happens with flare-ups is you get burnt and bitter.
You get a YouTube video, basically.
Yeah.
Your neighbors filming you as you burn your house down.
So let's talk one last thing about the perfect steak, because I think this is a step that a lot of people miss. Is that when you pull that off the grill, you need to let it rest.
Absolutely.
And if you go right from the grill to the plate, the first cut, all your juice is going to drain out and you've got a sloppy plate that you're eating off of. If you'll let that steak rest 5 to 10 minutes on a platter before you serve it to your guests, you will get a much better steak than you will if you serve it hot off the grill.
It's a must.
Right.
So because those fluids cook the meat by traveling and migrating, and you want them to migrate back to where they came from. And you're still going to lose X amount of it because the steak is cut across the grain, so a lot of the fluids are still going to run out of it. Let's talk about reverse sear. That's where you put your steaks on the grill and do an indirect grilling till you get them up to 110, 115 degrees. And then you throw them, and especially if you can throw some smoke on them, and then you throw them on the grates and crispen the edges up and make that beautiful presentation and that nice char effect.
Right.
That is
and one tool one tool that we always use when we're using steak is a digital thermometer, because you don't want to cut into a steak to see if it's done. Use that instant read probe. Yep. Get it to that 115, 120.
What he said.
Yeah. Coming up next, a little bit of Dreamer's Coffee. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from the Grilling Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's S-A-F-F-I-R-E at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than a half a percent of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120 where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes, along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior, can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
With The Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see The Grillin' Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to The Grillin' Guy show.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Grillin' Guys on The Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Bob, you know, you get to travel quite a bit in for business and pleasure, and your family lives around the country and such. And, you know, I do not nearly as much as you do, but every once in a while when you're traveling, you have an opportunity to meet somebody that makes an impact on your life, right? And tell us about our next guest on the show.
Well, I'm going to let her tell us about it. On the grilling line right now, we have a beautiful lady from Memphis, Tennessee. Her name is Diane Grover. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Randy wanted me to tell everybody how I met you, but I'm sure you'll do a much better job.
So my husband and I were traveling to my awesome nephew's wedding in Tucson, Arizona, and we had a layover on the way back, and we just so happened to be sitting in a restaurant enjoying our lunch, and in walked you, looking for a place to sit, and the place you wanted to sit was not available, so you ended up sitting next to my husband and I, and we just struck up a great conversation.
We did, and she was so kind because she noticed that this guy wasn't going to give me his seat, and did you notice his guest never did come?
No, yeah, I did notice that.
He wouldn't give me the seat, so Diane kindly said, you can sit right here. And I look over and I'm like, great, I'm really wanting, it was TGI Fridays in Atlanta, at the Atlanta airport. And so I had a couple hours to kill and I thought, TGI Fridays, Man, I could go for one of their Long Island iced teas right about now because I had just been through
It's starting to get clearer to me. Okay, I hadn't heard that detail.
Yeah. So we just started chatting, and they're a very friendly couple, and I very often will mention the show as a means of conversation point because food is a common language, and that's when her husband just really lit up, John, really lit up, and she started talking about all of his grilling and smoking episodes and all the pictures on his phone.
Yeah. He has a lot of them.
Yeah. So we talked about this business you started.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
So my daughter has Down syndrome, and I am severely deaf, hard of hearing. And through that process of helping my daughter through different situations, we've learned that there's some issues that, you know, kind of have come to the forefront for us in her future, in her present, you know, things like that. So we were brought to the attention that nationwide in America, there's a 20% hiring rate of individuals with disabilities. And that's like almost every disability, including individuals who are like me, who are deaf, but also individuals with intellectual disabilities. And in Memphis, or in Tennessee particularly, it was at 9% for a very long time. I've heard it upticked a little bit. And so I said to my husband, you know, I meet all these parents of kids with disabilities, and they'll tell me, you know, my son got trained for this and my daughter got trained for that, and then they were never hired. And I said to him, I don't want to beg anyone to hire Mary Ellen. I want her to have a safe place where she's supposed to be, where we don't have to, you know, have anyone do us a favor. You know, the dignity that work brings is what I want her to have. I want her to have what everybody else gets to feel, that feeling of, you know, accomplishment and belonging and being part of something. So I had met this coffee roaster, and he and I had gotten a conversation. He said, have you ever thought of having, you know, your own blend of coffee and opening a coffee house? And I said, you know, I never had. So I went home that night and I said to my husband, why don't we open a little coffee house? And he was like, oh, are you crazy? No, I think we could, you know, run a neat little coffee house with the kids and everything else. And so he said, well, what would we even call it? And I said, well, you know, I'm dreaming that one day I won't have to beg someone to hire Mary Ellen. Why don't we name it Dreamers? And he's like, oh, I like that. So he was all on board then. He's like, I think this is a great idea. So we got with my nephew, Daniel Gores, Creatography. I can't say it, 'cause it's a hard word. And he and I came up with the logo, the bean that comes with the dream, Dreamers Fresh Quality Coffee. And I just put it on my Facebook. My roaster said, go ahead and start selling some, and then we'll move towards what it would take for you to open your coffee house. And I put it on my Facebook, and in about 3 weeks, I had so many orders, I could hardly keep up. And I was the one that was actually shipping them out myself. And so I looked at my husband, I was like, oh my goodness, now what? How do we begin to open a coffee house when I'm selling so much coffee already? So then a ton of people asked me if they could also sell. And so we went to our lawyers and put together a different business plan so that we could license people to sell. And what that became then was me teaching many, many people how to become entrepreneurs, and them getting a license to sell, and them becoming a dreamer. And that's where we are today. We went from dreaming of opening a coffee house to actually empowering others to do what our dream was, and they're doing it.
Okay, if you just tuned in, we're talking, you're listening to The Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network, and we're talking with Diane Grover from Dreamers Coffee from Memphis, Tennessee. And just a wonderful lady, a wonderful couple, and she started this Dreamers Coffee to basically help create a job in the future or something she could pass on to her children, especially to her a Down's child. And tell us a little bit about what it's like to have a child with Down syndrome.
You know, it's oftentimes people say it's the unexpected surprise that you never knew you needed. I hear people say that a lot. I would be lying if I said there weren't challenges, because everything in life, I mean, I was a challenge for my family being deaf, that it was challenging being different than everyone else my whole life and not understanding things. Mary Ellen came with her own little tiny set of challenges. We had open heart at 6 months. That was scary. And, you know, everything that a parent fears, you know, we got through it, you know, and we came together closer as a family. We, you know, tightened up the team around that. And, you know, she was a runner, and there are families who have kids that are runners. It's called eloping. She did that, you know, quite a long time, and I had to work through, you know, sensory issues with that and learn how to deal with that. And now she's no longer a runner. So again, we tightened the tight ropes as a family and worked through that. And so while there's challenges on one side, there's so many neat opportunities to grow from
right,
those challenges.
Right, and that's what we want to talk about, is the opportunity. I've got 2 minutes left in this segment, and I want to let everybody know that the Grillin' Guys became one of your partners now, and our website will be a place you can go to buy this Dreamer's Coffee. Tell our listeners around the state of Michigan and in New Jersey about this coffee. Why would they want to try some?
Well, for one thing, it's a great mission. Our mission is to hire people, what we say is of all abilities, because we want people with disabilities alongside those without a disability working in an inclusive environment. So the mission is amazing. And for two, I'll be honest with you, it's amazing coffee. When we first started the company, people were like, you could get a cheaper coffee and pour it in there and it'll be so good. And I kept saying, I can't do that, because everyone in this process needs to be paid fair trade price. Every person along the way, from the farmer all the way to the person who sells it, they deserve to get what they earned for that product. And so we use a specialty grade. So when people drink, buy it, they buy it to be nice. When they drink it, they continue buying it because it's really good coffee. They're surprised.
And I think that's the bonus for anybody. So basically, you're going to go to the Grillin' Guys website now. You have built us a landing page so they can click on our link and it'll take them right to your site. They can make their purchase and they'll help out everybody involved.
That's exactly right. You're going to have your very own URL with your website, dreamers-thegrillingguys.com. And when people go to that, they can purchase from you and you will help us fulfill our mission.
That's awesome. Diane Grover, Dreamer's Coffee. She's a wonderful lady. We're going to talk to you again real soon, and God bless. Thanks so much for coming on the Grillin' Guys.
Thanks for having me.
Okay.
Pretty cool mission, Bob. I'm glad you ran into her. And, you know, the Grillin' Guys aren't going to be making any money on this thing. We're just going to be donating the money, as we always do, because that's not what we're about. But coming up next, we're going to do some tips for the perfect burger. Believe it or not, you got options. Stick with us. We'll be back. It's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend. That's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to oldworldolivepress.com.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer, bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
This is Jop from the Grillin' Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fennvalley.com.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. We're in mid-June. You better be neck deep in barbecue season. If you're not, you're going to clip your man card. Anyway, I'm Jop and he's Barbecue Bob, and we've been giving a little tips and techniques. We do this a couple times a year, and you tuned in the right day. Today's the day. But, Bob, we're talking about burgers next. Yeah. I mean, probably the quintessential item on the grill.
You know, and for all the fancy grilling and smoking and stuff you do. Isn't it still one of your favorite? And honestly, hot dogs.
Right.
I don't grill so many hot dogs.
Right.
But I love to when I get to.
Yep. Side hot dog story. Hangover from the Memorial Day, one of the big box stores was trying to get rid of hot dogs. They were selling them $1 a pack for 8 ballpark francs. You know, every year I do that deal in August where I do the children's fair and I do all the cooking for it. I bought 8 packs of dogs for $1 a piece, and I bought 100 packs of them. So I got 800 dogs I'm going to be doing at that gig here in about 6 weeks. But that saved me is like a third. They're usually like $2.99 a pack, and I got them $1 a pack. But so, yeah, I'm going to be doing some dogs, but I smoke those. I roll them on the smoker and let them go, and it looks like a big oven, and people love them. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about burgers.
Yeah. Well, so burgers, there's a couple ways you can look at it. You can either go to your butcher and get the very best ground beef, or you can go to your big supermarket and buy whatever hamburger is on sale.
Right.
Okay. They're all going to be good. I'll tell you that the regular 80-20 hamburger is going to be a lot greasier. You've got more potential for flare-ups, even on a really good grill. But you're going to have a phenomenal tasting burger if it's chuck, ground chuck.
Bad is flavor, okay? Baby.
Instead of ground, you know, leftovers, just ground chuck is going to be the good flavor.
Right.
So, but if it comes from a good meat market like we get ours at Sobey, if you have a butcher that's careful, you can get a nicer blend, and you don't have to be nearly as fussy with the temperature.
Right, right. And I'm doing a little project. It's Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchens is where I work here in West Michigan, and we're doing a grill tour this summer where we're going to job sites every day of the week. Got a couple interns that are running around and feeding contractors. Those are our customers and saying thanks, right? Goodwill tour. We're getting all of that from Sobeys. I get them pattied up, ready to go. And he's, you know what he's even doing? This is what you can get from a butcher, is he's seasoning them for me. Now I'm buying a lot of
great.
Them, right? But
great.
They're coming seasoned, ready to go.
Fresh every day.
Fresh every day.
Bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, right.
That's a good setup. And as long as we're plugging our companies, no. I won't plug Carrier.
Right.
But
but you know where I'm going is there's a lot of different things that you can do with burger.
Oh.
And these are the seasoning is mixed in the grind when he's making
it for
me.
Yeah, and that's Tim's blend.
Right. Yep. So it's
good
ready
stuff.
To go.
Yeah, it's onion powder, garlic, salt, pepper, basically.
Right. Yep.
And that's good stuff. So I guess, you know, burgers are pretty simple. You don't have to get overly complex about it. But so if you pick the right meat and know what temperature you're going to bring it to, remember, if it comes in one of those plastic tubes and you can't see the meat, it's been on the floor several times. You got to cook the snot out of that stuff, okay?
Right.
It's still probably safe, but it are not right.
Right.
So you're going to have to bring that up to a good 150, 160 and ruin the piece of meat.
And if you go to 165, just get your hockey sticks out and start batting them around the yard.
Yes. Well, that stuff has got so much fat in it, even at 165, it's still pretty juicy. But so here's a big deal in my book, forming that patty.
Uh-huh.
One thing you don't want to do with hamburger is you don't want to put it in a bowl, mix it all up, put a bunch of stuff in it, mix it all up, because now when you form your patty, it's going to be tough. Because what you've done is you've condensed that meat again by all that manipulation. So you take it right from the grind, get a nice handful. I make them big because I like big burgers and big butts. So I make a nice round ball out of it. I just kind of compress it a little bit, and then I, in my palm or on a piece of wax paper, I'll flatten that thing down, and then I'll run around the edges, packing in those edges just to kind of make like a curb around the outside of it.
Right.
And then I'll smash down the middle of it, and I'll do that on a big sheet of wax paper, and then I'll take that whole sheet and I'll set it on my cutting board that I'm going to bring out, or cookie sheet that I'm going to bring out to the grill. And I'll make those up in advance like that on wax paper, and they'll all have a nice edge on them. The edge is a big deal because they want to break apart, because I haven't done much to mix that meat.
Right.
It still kind of has those strands as it came out of the grinder.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll tend to want to break on those strands where that seam is. So that's why I put the edge on it, and they stay together really well.
The thing that you talked about, but we need to spend a minute more on, is the little dimple in the center.
Yeah, okay? That's a big dimple.
Right, and you can take your thumb and push down in there, a couple index finger, middle finger, whatever, and push down in there, but you want an indentation in the center of that, because what happens is, as it cooks, it tends to swell, and you'll get this really fat burger in the center, and it's thin around the edges. But if you put that little dimple in there, it just kind of comes back up to even.
Yeah, and I've, evolved in the way I do that depression. So my burger ends up almost looking like a hubcap flipped upside down, where it's real flat in the middle, and it's got this big ridge all the way around the outside. And when that thing is done, it's still almost fatter in the middle, because if you're using a fatty hamburger, that thing is going to shrink up like crazy.
Right.
And that's another thing to consider, is if you're using an 80% grind, you're going to lose 20% of your meat. So by all means, or more, because the water's leaving too.
Right.
So you better make that thing nice and big if you want it to not look stupid on the bun when you're done.
Yeah. Who likes twice as much bun as you got burger when it's done, right? So make them big. You count on them shrinking, and then they're going to do exactly what you want them to do.
You're talking about work. I do work for Carrier Great Lakes, and we have a branch in Lansing, which I'm at a bunch because center of the state's my responsibility. And we did this event for Bradford White, the water heater factory down in Middleville. And they're saying, oh, we're grilling all this. And I go, oh, well, I'm coming for the day. How about if I do the grilling?
Right.
And they go, well, that'd be great. So I get there, and we've got this really, really bad grill. So I'm discouraged.
Happens all the
time.
I'm
discouraged. But the guy was smart. The branch manager is very smart, and he went to Marendorf's.
Meats.
It's a place, and he's got a couple places in Lansing. He's a Sobey kind of guy. He's a fantastic butcher, and we got a bunch of his brats and kielbasa, and we need to have Marendorf on the show. And the ground meat was beautiful. They didn't get enough. We had so many guys showing up that after an hour, I said, dude, we're in trouble. You got to make a run. So we had to run back and double down on the order. Plus, the manager was kind of like, oh, you know, you're making those awful big. And I said, hey, it's 80-20 burger, man.
Right.
So I showed him the burgers when we were done, by the time I put them on the contractor's buns. And they're just, like, not that big. They're barely covering the bun. I started off with this thing that's the size of a dessert plate around and pretty thick. And now I've just got this really average-looking hamburger.
Right.
That's how bad those things shrink.
And I think they shrink more because you haven't kneaded the meat. You left it in that stranding. And it's got a little more air in it that tightens up, so shrink a little
bit
more. But that, what Bob said earlier, is if you really pack those down, they're going to be tougher.
Yeah.
And if you leave that open grind in there, you're going to have a much more, juicier.
Manly
burger. It's time for some man law.
Now you're a man!
Yeah, I feel like a man if you're talking about hamburgers, Jop.
Yes, sir.
Today's man law. Unless he murdered someone in your immediate family, you must bail a friend out of jail within 24 hours.
If he calls, that's exactly right. Just man law. He's a buddy. You'll be good. And keep in mind that if they set your bail at a grand, it only costs $100 to get out because you buy a bail
bond. You ever
bond.
Have to bail anybody out?
I have.
Me too.
I have. And you know what? It's usually in the middle of the night, but at the end of the day, that's...
You have a phone call from...
I own your prison.
Yeah, it wasn't prison, but it was driving school.
Or whatever. Right, it's usually the county sheriff.
Yeah, right, yeah. But anyway.
Yeah, so burgers, that's a big deal, just to keep some of those things in mind. We didn't really get to talk about loaded burgers, but we could talk about those in the next segment because that's a really wonderful way to take a basic piece of hamburger and make it
special.
Total cool.
Yeah. Coming up next, we'll load your burger and tip your sausage. Stick with us. We'll be back. Down the drain. I felt so good, like anything was possible. Hit cruise control and rub my eyes. The last 3 days. We live it. We love it. Alan Bob Sports. Sportsman serving. Satisfaction's been our aim since 59. Been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Alan Bob Sports, sportsman serving sportsmen. Welcome back. You're listening to The Grilling Guys. Hey, Bob, let's load up a burger. What you thinking, man?
Yeah, loaded burgers. That's the thing. It's really easy. Now I want to defy everything I said before, and you make two really flat patties. Yep. And, again, wax paper's the key.
Yep.
Because you're going to have to pick that little skinny thing up. But then in the middle of it, you put – now, I just bought the other day some beautiful – I think it's a – what do they call it? Cheddar or farmer's cheese or something with horseradish. I think it's farmer's cheese with horseradish.
Okay.
Holy cow, is that good.
Yeah.
Something like that sliced. It's almost like a Munster texture, mm-hmm. you know, real soft.
Yep. White cheese.
Oh, yep. Man, beautiful. And it's got a little bit of zip to it, and you put a sheet of that between your patties. The key there is to make sure that it fits inside the patty enough to where there's enough meat on all the edges that you can seal the meat together and, again, make that edge, because if not, that cheese is going to come spurting out of there.
That's right. Now, that's a simple load because I've taken some finely diced onion and maybe some bell pepper and things. But, again, you don't want big chunks of it, but you want it diced up pretty fine. But you can get creative on what you put in that center.
Slices of olive and cheese are really good.
Yeah, but again, the key to what Bob said was bind the edges.
Get it to
melt. Because you don't want it to come squirting out of there, because all you're doing is making a hell of a mess on your grill.
You know, a spot welder would be real good about that.
Right. And
tack it.
At the end of the day, that's the way it works. Now, what about sausages? Because everybody knows brats. Everybody knows kielbasa, sausages, Johnsonville, this or that.
Well, the same thing. If you go to a place like Marendorf's and you get a really good sausage, you don't need to freak out about your temperature. If you get it up to 145, you're good.
Yep.
Because he's using great grinds of pork, and it's generally pork in most of your sausages, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you get it up to 145 in the center, and you're all right.
Right.
But you go to get your bulk-produced stuff. Now you might want to be a little more careful because it's a giant sausage factory,
right.
And who wants to be there?
Right. Don't but touch the it. Important part about it is that get the internal temperature to them, and you have to be careful because if you start jabbing these things with your digital thermometer, you're going to let all the juice out
right.
of them.
So you run it in the end
there
because
you go.
The casing is not on the end. It's just meat that has welded itself shut. So when you send your probe into that, you go in about an inch and a half. You'll be at true center of your
right.
of your sausage.
So you're talking going in lengthways rather than down through. You're going in through
put
the end.
Put your little probe right in the end and slide it up the sausage.
Yeah.
Like catheterize it.
Yeah. It's getting way too personal
that's
now.
That's wrong right
yes,
there.
Yes, it is.
That is wrong. You can't say that.
I kind of wish you hadn't, quite frankly. But, you know, are you grilling those or smoking them? And I think that I like to do both. frankly. If I've got the time, I prefer a smoked sausage over grilled just because they're juicier. When I grill them, invariably you'll get a hot spot, that casing might pop, and your juices are gone, and then you got a really dry, tough piece
of
meat.
It's surprising how many people have never had a smoked brat,
right?
Yep. Compared to a grilled brat.
There's a big difference.
Oh,
if you've got time
to
smoke them, again, we're talking indirect heat, lower temperature, cooked longer.
Well, it's safer.
Right.
You know you're going to get your temp where you want it.
Right.
Whereas when it's on the grill, I mean, the darn thing's trying to catch on fire all the time, right? Because there's so much fat rendering out of it.
Right.
So anyway, those are our sausage tips and techniques for this segment.
Yeah. Well, hey, we appreciate you tuning into the Grilling Guys each and every week. You can catch us on thegrillingguys.com if you missed the show and you want to podcast this thing, or all of our shows are archived there.
Yeah, and look for the Dreamers Coffee link on thegrillingguys.com. Hit us on Facebook / thegrillingguys. I'm on Twitter. It's Grilling Guy. We're out.